Our text for this evening is that final verse in our Bible reading tonight, verse number 28 of Acts chapter 26, where it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now it is a great mercy for any monarch upon a throne to hear the gospel. Young King Edward VI, the boy king of England, had that wonderful privilege in his life, though it was brief, through the faithful preaching of old Bishop Latimer. And here tonight in Acts chapter 26, we see also how Agrippa the king has the same mercy, the same privilege, through the faithful preaching of the Apostle Paul. At this juncture in his life, Paul is on trial for his faith in Christ. He is soon to put on the martyr's crown. In chapter 24 of the book of the Acts, you read of them there before Felix, the Roman governor. Then in chapter 25, he is brought before Festus, another governor. And then here in Acts chapter 26, we find him before Agrippa the king. And in Acts chapter 26, Agrippa allows Paul to speak for himself, to make his own defense, as it were. And in speaking for himself, Paul gives a word of testimony. He tells of his life before he was converted to Christ, and what a sinful life that was. He was one who persecuted the Christians. He was one who put them into prison. He was one who even consented to their very death and slaying. Such was his hatred of the gospel and God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then something tremendous happened in the life of this man. He had an experience with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he never forgot. Something that he told often to all whom he met. And he tells of how he was converted to Christ on the Damascus Road. Paul never forgot the place. Paul never forgot the time. And notice what he says there in Acts chapter 26 and verse 13 before Agrippa. He says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." That day, at 12 o'clock on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus met personally with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was saved by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, his life was never the same again. And Paul goes on then to tell Agrippa how God called him to preach the gospel, to tell the good news of the gospel to the Gentile people. And he spoke to Agrippa of how he was obedient to the call of God and the will of God for his life as a Christian. Notice what he says there in verse 19. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Then following the giving his own credentials, Paul presents the gospel faithfully to this king that is before him, this man Agrippa. And he speaks to him of Christ's death upon the cross for our sins. He speaks to him about the resurrection of Christ from the tomb on the third day. And as Agrippa himself was a Jew, Paul told him how this was the message of the Old Testament prophets. And then he applies the gospel to Agrippa's heart, to Agrippa's conscience and soul. Look at what he says in verse 27 of the chapter. He says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." My, he was driving the nail home to Agrippa's heart. Yes, Agrippa, you consent to what I've said from the Word of God and from the testimony of God's Word and God's truth. My, the faithful preaching of Paul, it stirs the heart of this man, Agrippa. And such is the stirrings of God that day in his soul that he exclaims to Paul in the words of our text, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded to come to Christ. Might we could say he was almost across the finish line, so to speak, to become a child of God. Yes, he was almost persuaded, but friends, the thing for us to note tonight, though he was almost persuaded, he was still not saved. He was still not right with God. He was still not ready for heaven. Aye, he was still a lost sinner on his way to a lost eternity in hell. And tonight, for the remaining moments of this meeting, I want us just to think upon these words. Agrippa to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Maybe there's someone tonight in the meeting. Maybe you're just like Agrippa. You have heard the gospel through this mission. You have maybe heard the gospel at other times. Maybe you've heard the gospel from the earliest days of your life. Tonight God has brought you here. He's brought you to a crossroads in your life. And like Agrippa, you too must say, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost a Christian. What then can we learn tonight from these words of Agrippa to Paul? Notice first of all here that we see Paul's desire for Agrippa. For Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What then was Paul's desire for Agrippa? Paul desired Agrippa here to become a Christian. Paul desired Agrippa to be saved from his sin. My, Paul reiterates that desire in verse 29 of the chapter. For Paul says there, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, I accept these bonds. The burden of Paul for Agrippa, the burden of Paul for all whom he met with, was that they would be saved, converted, that they would become Christians. Unsaved man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, my prayer for you is, the prayer of the Reverend Salt for you is, and my, the prayer of every other Christian in this meeting tonight for you also is that this very night you would become a Christian. This very evening you would be converted, that you would be saved by the grace of God. That's why this mission has been convened, so that sinners might avail themselves of an opportunity to get right with God and prepare for the kingdom of God. You will notice here in verse 18 of the chapter that Paul tells Agrippa what a Christian is. He describes for him the life of a Christian. In verses 17 and 18, he relates there to Agrippa of how God had called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and what this ministry would entail and mean with God's power and blessing upon it. Look at the beginning of verse 18 of the chapter. He says, to open their eyes. What is a Christian? My, a Christian is one who has the spiritual understanding opened. A Christian is one who sees his need as a lost sinner before a holy God. My, he sees things in the light of eternity. That's how it was with the old publican who smote his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saw himself as a sinner lost before God. And friend, tonight, if you are to be a Christian, you must see yourself as a sinner before God. You must take the sinner's place. Notice also there from verse 18 what Paul goes on to say in describing the Christian life. He says, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who turns from the powers of darkness to God. He's a one who repents of his sin, who turns away from his sin. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, if you are to be a Christian, you must turn to God. You must turn away from your sins. You must repent of your sin. There must be repentance toward God in your life. You'll notice something else here that Paul goes on to say in verse 18 in describing the Christian. He says that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. My Christian is one who has their sins all forgiven by the blood of Christ. And we looked at that last evening. And friend, if you are to be a Christian, your sins must be forgiven by God. Your sins must be pardoned. My, it is only the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can blot out all your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanse of us from all sin. It is not your money that blots out your sins. It is not your good works that blots out your sins. It is not your self-righteousness or the ordinances of men or the ceremonies of men or the church that you belong to that can blot out your sins. It is only the precious blood of God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And look again there at verse 18, at the latter part of the verse, the words by faith, that is of me. Here's the Lord speaking to Paul. And my a Christian, what are they? They are someone, yes, with God's salvation. Someone who has faith in Christ alone for their salvation. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Every Christian's life is marked by faith in the Son of God. And if you are to be saved, if you are to become a Christian, your faith, your trust must be in God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone for your Savior. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Who or what are you trusting in tonight? Except you're trusting in Christ alone, you cannot be saved. You must trust in Him. Notice again there in verse 18, near the latter part of the verse, notice the words, that they may receive an inheritance among them that are sanctified. My one who is sanctified is one who is set apart unto God. A holy man who loves God, who delights in the Word of God, in the ways of God, in the worship of God. That inheritance speaks of heaven, the believer's eternal home. The believer's eternal resting place and glory. My, David was such a man. He could say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He was looking forward to heaven. My, he could speak of God's word, and he could say, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. He could say, I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Rejoiced in the word of God, his Savior and his Redeemer. And this is what Paul wanted for this man Agrippa. He wanted him to see his sins forgiven. He wanted him to see him repenting of his sin and getting right with God. He wanted him to see his need as a lost sinner before God. He wanted him to see his life changed, a man set apart for God, a man set on the road to heaven, on the road to glory. This was the burden of Paul for Agrippa. Friend, let me say to you tonight, this is why we want you also to become a Christian tonight. We want to see you saved from your sins. That's why this mission has been convened, the oversight of this church. My, we want you to know the forgiveness of your sins. We want you to know the fetters of sin broken in your life that bind your life. We want to see you saved from a lost eternity in hell. We want to see you in heaven. We want to meet with you in glory. Oh, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ Our Lord Paul's desire for Agrippa was that he become a Christian. Man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight not saved, our desire, our burden, our prayer for you is that this very night, here in Accolade Church, you would become a Christian. And you would start out for heaven. Yes, we see Paul's desire for Agrippa. But notice secondly tonight the response of Agrippa. For in verse 28, Agrippa says to Paul, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Notice that word, almost. What does it tell us about Agrippa's response? It tells us that Agrippa was saying no to Christ. He was saying no to being saved. This was what was going on in his heart as Paul was speaking to him. He was saying no to becoming a Christian. He was rejecting the gospel message. He said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. His response was the same as Felix, the Roman governor. Turn back a page or two in your Bible to Acts chapter 24, just back two chapters. Look at verse number 25. And again, Paul was witnessing here to Felix. Verses 24 and 25, it says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Priscilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, the need to be saved through faith in Christ. And it says of Paul, and he reasoned, he persuaded him of righteousness, of temperance, of judgment to come. And it says, Felix trembled. He spoke to him of his need to be right with God. He spoke to him of his need to repent of his sins. He spoke to him of his need to be saved from the wrath to come. This man, Felix, trembled. But then he made a choice. He made a decision. For notice the latter part of verse 25. He answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He made his choice. He made his decision. He said no in his heart to Christ. He said no to the claims of the gospel upon his soul. I think of another young man that we read of in the Bible, in the Gospels. We don't know his name. But the Bible just calls him a young man, a rich young ruler, and he came with great enthusiasm initially to Christ, and Christ spoke to him. He was faithful to his soul. The Bible says this of this rich young ruler. It says, he went away grieved, for he had much possessions. He put his possessions, his silver, his gold, the things of time before the Lord. Went away from the Lord grieved. He turned away from the Lord. He turned his back on the Son of God. He turned away from the only Savior who could help him and save him for time and for eternity. Then let me ask you tonight, what is your response to the gospel this night? What's your response in your heart tonight? Is it the same as this man, Agrippa? Is that your response tonight? Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You have often been told of your need to be saved, of your need to get right with God. Yet you procrastinate. Yet you say no to Christ, no to being saved, no to becoming a Christian. You're not prepared to trust Christ as your Savior and entrust your soul to a saving and keeping power. As someone has once said, God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised forgiveness to your procrastination. Realize you can never become a Christian by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All over the world tonight there are Christians. Here in Northern Ireland, the south of Ireland, over in the mainland of Britain, in the continent of Europe and Asia and Africa, Australia, North and South and Central America. And wherever those Christians are to be found, they may come from different backgrounds. different colors, different creeds, different nationalities. But every single one has one common denominator in their heart, in their soul and life. It is a saving faith, a saving interest in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, resting upon Him alone for their salvation. You see, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one Savior. Not one way, not one Savior is God's eternal Son, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you can never become a Christian if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Please note here that Agrippa's response was made before others. And I believe those before him that day had an influence upon his decision to reject Christ. They influenced the choice he made on that occasion. Go back to chapter 25. And verse 23, you read of those who were in Agrippa's presence that day. It says in verse 23 of Acts chapter 25, and on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains, and the principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. There were others gathered around that day. You read of a woman there called Bernice. Bernice was an immoral woman. Jewish historians tell us that she had an immoral relationship with Agrippa. She was related to him. Before this, she had been married to her uncle. Then she was married again, and that second marriage failed through unfaithfulness. And my Agrippa did not want to become a Christian because he knew he would have to give up the sinful relationship. It would have to end. You see, Agrippa was a man who loved darkness. He loved his sin more than the light of God and the light of the gospel. Bernice was there. We read of another man there by the name of Festus. What kind of a man was Festus? Well, if you go back again to chapter 26 and verse 24, you'll see the kind of man Festus was when he heard the gospel. For notice what it says, and as he thus spake for himself, that Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And when Festus saw Paul, when he heard him, he says, Paul, you're a madman. You're speaking nonsense. You're a fool. Here was a man who had no time for God's servant. No time for God's word. No time for God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Agrippa not want to become a Christian that day? Agrippa did not want to become a Christian, for he himself did not want to be called a fool for Christ. Even like the Apostle Paul. Agrippa wanted to be popular. He wanted to fit in with the crowd of the day. Hence he turned his back upon God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to swim with the tide, so to speak, and go on against the Lord Jesus Christ and go on in his sin. And then Paul was present here, Paul the preacher. But what was Paul's condition at this time? Paul was a prisoner. Paul was in chains. Paul was in fetters for the gospel. He was soon to die for his faith in Christ. And why did Agrippa not want to become a Christian that day? Agrippa did not want to become a Christian that day because he was not prepared to suffer for Christ. He was not prepared to bear reproach for Christ like the Apostle Paul. He wasn't willing to take up the cross and follow the Son of God. In many ways, he's like that other character in the New Testament that you read of by the name of Demas. One who went along with the Lord's people for a while. And then Paul spoke to Timothy of Demas and he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. This departed. He loved the ease of this world. He wasn't prepared to go through with God and bear reproach with Christ. And that's how it was with Agrippa. He wanted to go on in ease and pleasure and pomp. He didn't want to bear any reproach for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Friend, let me ask you tonight, why are you still not saved? Why are you still not a Christian tonight in this gospel service? Is it because of your love for your sin? Is that what you're putting tonight between you and God and between your soul's eternal well-being? Your sin, your love of sin? You may love your sin, but your sin is grieving to God. And the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Your sin grieves God. Your sin has put you under the condemnation of God. Is it the fear of man? Maybe you've wanted to become a Christian. You said, my friends at work will laugh at me. My best friend will mock me if I tell him I've got saved. Somebody in the family will poke fun at me. Is that why you're not a Christian tonight? The fear of man. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Yes, you're man enough in the crowd, but you're not man enough to stand up and be counted for Christ as one of Christ's own ones, who loves Christ, who owns him as Savior. Your friends may laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out of it. The fear of man that bringeth a snare. Maybe it's the case tonight you're not saved, you're not a Christian, because of your friendship with this ungodly world. You want to go on with the world. You want to take all that this world has to offer, has to give. The Bible says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Oh friend, tonight are you prepared to forfeit God's salvation for these things? The love of sin, the fear of man, the love of the world. Is that what you're selling your soul for tonight to the devil? Because of sin, because of what somebody else might say or think, because of what promise the world may supposedly hold before you? The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Remember the rich farmer had all his plans and ambitions made. But he didn't think upon God. He didn't reckon on God. He didn't count on Christ. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And my, if you're putting anything tonight between you and Christ, likewise God says you're a fool. Thou fool, it's a foolish thing to put your sin before Christ. It's a foolish thing to put the fear of man before Christ. It's a foolish thing to put the love and the ambitions of this world before Christ. It's a way of folly. It's a path that leads to awful ruin. Notice finally tonight here in connection with our text, notice the outcome for Agrippa. Agrippa said here to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And by not being persuaded to become a Christian, Agrippa here was forfeiting the blessings of God's so great salvation. In many ways, we could say he was like an ill man turning his back upon the medicine and the remedy that the doctor, the physician, has prescribed for him. He was saying no to peace with God. He was saying no to the pardon of his sins. He was saying no to communion with God. He was saying no to a place in heaven. He was saying no to having Christ as that friend that would stick closer than any brother. He was saying no to God's provision and protection and presence in his life. He was saying no to the eternal salvation of his soul. You see, the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Instead of heaven, he was choosing eternal punishment and woe and judgment and hell for his sin. Friend, when you reject Christ, you too are saying no to heaven. That's what you're doing. You're saying no to the blessings of God's so great salvation. You see, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says of those who reject him, and ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. You know, not becoming a Christian that day and then rejecting Christ, what was Agrippa doing? He was committing the unpardonable sin He was trampling the blood of Christ under his feet. Why, there's no hope for one who rejects the blood of Christ as the only remedy for their sin. You turn over with me there to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter number 6. Look with me at verse number 8 of that chapter. Here the writer to the Hebrews speaks of such who trample the blood of Christ under the foot. He likens them unto thorns and briars that are cast aside, that are burned. And look at what he says there very carefully in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 6. He says, but that which beareth thorns and briars, notice it, is rejected. The person who rejects Christ, who rejects the blood of Christ, is rejected of God. Notice what he goes on to say there in verse 8, and is nigh unto cursing. The person who turns their back upon the Son of God and the blood of Christ is under the curse of God, under the wrath, the judgment of God. Look at the end of verse 8, whose end is to be burned. I'm sure you've seen thorns and briars gathered up in a garden, or maybe gathered up in an orchard, on a field of a farm. After the winter season, they're gathered up to be burned. You go across the countryside in these days, you see farmers, they've cut their hedges, they've gathered them up to be burned. What's that saying? What's that speaking to you and I of? It reminds us of those who reject Christ. Reject the blood of Christ, whose end is to be burned, a lost eternity in hell. That's what will befall you, my friend. You reject Christ, you trample the blood of Christ under your foot and reject the Son of God. Also, in spurning the gospel, Agrippa was increasing the guilt of his sin. He had great gospel privileges in hearing the gospel from the great apostle Paul. But in rejecting the gospel, he was increasing his guilt as a sinner before God. Friend, if you reject the gospel after hearing it, my, your guilt also will be terrible. And my, your punishment in hell will be terrible. It will be worse than those who have had less privileges than you. Yes, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Then in rejecting Christ, Agrippa here rejected him for the last time. You can read through all of the Bible, but you will never again read of him hearing the gospel in the Bible. This was his last sermon. This was his last opportunity to get right with God. And friends, there's a last time for everything in life. There's a last time. And there's a last time for hearing the gospel. You see, God says in his word, he that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And it's a blessed thing when a mission comes to an area. It's a time of blessing, time of opportunity. You know, it's a sad thing as well when that mission comes and when that mission goes. For oftentimes in that area, death visits. That mission has been the last time for some in that community, in that area. Unsaved friend, if you die tonight in your sin, unsaved out of Christ, realize this, you'll be in hell forever. Realize tonight that this could be your last opportunity. This could be your last gospel meeting. This could be your last sermon that you might ever hear. And these words might ring in your soul for all eternity. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But my, if they ring for all of eternity in your soul and hell, it'll be forever too late for you. See, when a man or a woman, a young person goes down into hell, all hope's gone. There's no escape. There's no mercy. There's no deliverance. This is the day of grace. This is the day of mercy. Oh, don't despise it. On the night that Elvis Presley died, earlier on that evening, a friend spoke to him about his personal need to get right with God and to prepare for eternity. You see, as a young man, Elvis Presley had many gospel privileges. And after his friend spoke to him that night, Elvis Presley said this. He said, never speak to me again about that matter. And that night, a young man of just 42 years of age, His soul was required of him. And he went out into God's eternity. Friend, what if tonight your soul should be required of thee? What if tonight you should be taken out into God's eternity? Where will you be in eternity? Will you be in God's heaven? Will you be lost forever? In a lost sinner's hell? If you're to be in heaven, you need to trust Christ in time. And trust the precious blood of Christ to save your soul. To forgive all your sins. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My our prayer burden is that this very night you would come to Christ just as you are, and go home tonight not almost persuaded, but altogether persuaded, and in Christ, knowing the wonderful joy of your sins forgiven. Know what it is to be saved eternally, to be safe and secure in the hands of Christ, and to be ready for heaven. What are you going to do tonight with the gospel message? What are you going to do with God's dear Son? God forbid that you should go out of the meeting tonight saying with Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We urge you, we beseech you, we pray for you, we implore you. You're not saved tonight, come to Christ, trust Him as your Savior. If you're a backslider tonight, afar from God, come back to Him. Oh, whatever your need is tonight, get that need sorted out. Get it dealt with at the cross. There's pardon, there's cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. There's life abundant. There's life eternal. May God help you to come. Amen.
Thank you. Just have we